All right, let's pray the chaplet today, and we will pray in particular for you and for your intentions. Today's, of course, the great feast of the archangels of Gabriel and Raphael, and of course, Michael. I'll share some really beautiful stories coming up, maybe right after. There's a story I share every year about a Marine who encountered St. Michael. If you've not heard it, I think you'll love it. I'll give you a little background also on how that powerful prayer to St. Michael the Archangel came about, and much more. We got a lot to get into. In fact, St. Faustina, I'll share with you an incredible encounter that St. Faustina had with St. Michael. So we'll get into that and a whole lot more. But I want to pray for a couple intentions. I was going through my email last night, and So many intentions have come in. And thank you for writing. As I said, I read them all. I can't always write back. I do try to write back to some of those. But a couple of intentions. A friend of mine, I got a text this morning from, he's a pilot. He's been a great contributor on this program in the past. And his wife, Christine, is in her final hours. And Matt, we are praying for you, and we are praying for your family. And we're going to pray especially for your beautiful wife, who I know you love very much in these hours, especially through this incredibly beautiful and powerful prayer of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So I want to pray for all those now approaching new life, approaching eternity, ready to make that transition from this life, having passed this test, and entering into paradise to be with our Lord where there's no more suffering, right? Where there's nothing but love and joy. You know, the Lord told Faustina that no mind, be it human or angelic, will ever be able to fathom the depths of his mercy, not through all eternity. It's one of the great mysteries of the afterlife, in my opinion. And I do really believe that, you know, we can't even put into words. Scripture tells us what awaits us. So let's pray that we all have a holy death, all right, and that our hearts are predisposed for that. I have a friend who's concerned about his son's wedding, too. He asked me to pray for that intention. He is concerned it may not be a valid wedding. And I want to pray for those who've been married outside the church or those who are just cohabitating, not getting married, that God will really let them understand the beauty and the graces that come within the sacrament of matrimony. Another person says, Drew, I hope this finds you well. Could you please pray for me and my unborn child who I've lost at 15 weeks? And they wrote to me yesterday, so this is the day this is happening. She says, tomorrow I will have a procedure to get the baby out. I am very sad, and I'm nervous that it had to end like this. I ask you to pray for my baby's soul and that one day God give me the grace to reunite with him or her and give them the hugs and kisses that I was not able to give them. That is such a sad email. I can't imagine that poor mother losing her 15-week-old child. I'm just praying that one day she'll be able to hug and kiss that baby. Lord, I ask you comfort and heal this mother. I do. And for all those who are having miscarriage, those who are contemplating abortion, those who are just having trouble with fertility and with life in general, we pray for life in this country. Another person says, look, I humbly ask you to pray for my brother-in-law, Ricky. He committed suicide just a few hours ago. Could you pray for my mother-in-law, Rita, who, of course, is very distraught? Certainly will do that, and I'm delighted to be able to pray the chaplet for that intention. I hear more intentions for suicide than anything I've had in recent days. And Lord, again, I just ask you to intervene, to bring comfort and hope and clarity to anyone who's struggling and who doesn't think they can go on. Another person says, I don't have composure to call, but my sister has a failing digestive system and she's near death. I ask that you include her in your prayers, that a miraculous recovery will occur or a peaceful journey to Jesus. And please pray for her suffering family as well. We'll do that, Jake. And Marianne asks for her daughter who is in recovery from alcoholism. She's a year sober, but she's dating a dangerous man. Can't get a job. He's a drug addict. He has uncontrolled bipolar disorder, and she's asking us to pray for safety for her daughter and, of course, for her dog, and that this daughter of her makes the right choices. Let me throw one more out here, too. She says, could you please pray for an end to the conflict in my family and for peace to be restored? Pray for my son to keep his job and for the legal issues to be resolved. And also for Bill S. He passed away in his sleep last night. God bless you and all who pray with you at Relevant Radio. So many more here, and I'll try to share a few more of these intentions if time permits. But I'm grateful for everyone who writes to me. Of course, you can also post them on Twitter at Drew Mariani show, and Patrick will share some, and you can email me, drew@relevantradio.com, and also send me your answer prayers. Maybe tomorrow we'll do something a little more positive, a little more hopeful, and I'll share with you so many of the miracles that have come about thanks to your prayer and mine, and ultimately the mercy of God. I'm joined right now by Preston. He's my colleague here at Relevant, and it's always good to pray with him. He hails from our accounting department. Hi, Preston. Yeah. Thanks for praying with me.
Thanks, Drew. It's a pleasure to be here.
Anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, I mean, my heart just breaks for some of those intentions you read today, and just, I know people are struggling so much, but in a particular way, like, my wife is a mother and our daughter, I can't imagine what it'd be like to lose a daughter, so I'm just going to pray for my three-month-old, that she just stays healthy and holy as she grows up. That's going to be my intention today. Thank you.
Such a beautiful intention. You know, and I'll add one more, just thinking of relationships. I know you and your wife have a beautiful one. This person said to me, she says, could you pray for my marriage between my husband and I? And she said, we're having problems. My husband's not been to church since Easter. Could you pray for our son as well? I don't want him to be affected by this, but we're trying to close on a house. There's been lots of issues. It's caused a lot of stress on my husband and my marriage. Would you please pray? Another person says, I've been praying for a few weeks now. I'm a single mom with an incredible teenage son. I'm so grateful to God for him, but I listen to all these heartfelt problems from callers, and I pray for them during the Divine Mercy Chaplet, but what brought me to your station was extreme heartbreak. It's so overwhelming at times. It's difficult to get through the day. I feel like a pit in my stomach and in my heart. I've been through surgeries, and I almost passed during one of them. However, I can't seem to get past the parting of the ways between my boyfriend and me. It was unexpected, abrupt, and I miss him every second, every minute of every day. I've forgiven him, and I've been praying so hard for him to come back to me. I pray all the time, as his work is dangerous. I need God's mercy, and I just want peace. A lost love request may sound silly, but I feel very lost, and I can't find my way. That is a powerful intention, too. The wounds of the heart are often incredibly deep and profoundly painful. And Lord, I just ask you to heal those wounds. And I give to you all who now unite with me in prayer as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Fresno, California. Esther is praying with us there. Hi, Esther.
Hi. I hope I can hold it together. I lost my adult son probably on June 1st. They found him after he had been deceased for several days, and I hurt because I wasn't there because I wanted him to be blessed and all those things can ask. I also have a brother who's fighting cancer, and he just had surgery yesterday, so I ask prayers for both of them, please.
So sorry. How old was your son, Esther?
He was 52.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right, well, look, we're here for you. We will pray for him, for his soul in particular. And know that if you weren't there, You know, I know Christ was there. I know Our Lady was there for him. And I just want to lift it up. The loss of a son is a loss of a child. Just goes against the natural order of things. And Lord, I pray I don't have to ever drink from that bitter cup. And I pray that for so many others here. But I do ask for comfort, for consolation, for your love, your mercy, and your embrace for this mother who is mourning the loss of her son. We pray for her brother who's fighting cancer and all those, Lord, who are fighting against this wretched disease. I implore your mercy. I implore your consolation as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Marty is listening in Park Ridge, Illinois. Hi, Marty. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling for prayers for my older brother who has been given a diagnosis of stage 4 terminal small intestine cancer. And he has gone through a round of chemo, and it's his decision not to pursue that again, as they wanted to start another round of chemotherapy. He's elected not to do it. I think right now his time is probably limited with us. So at this point, I'm just kind of like praying for a miracle, and miracles do happen, I believe. So that's kind of where I'm at. He's accepted it, but I don't think the rest of us have accepted it yet.
Yeah,
you know,
it's hard. I know. It's well, let's pray. But Marty, I love your attitude towards prayer. You know, miracles do happen. They certainly can. Cancer's not greater than God, as I often say. And we'll pray for your brother right now. And I love his attitude, because we all will make this transition. We'll all go home one day. And I think of James 1, where in Scripture it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised for those who love him." And Lord, if cancer is the doorway for many, if that's what you are going to use to bring souls home, then we thank you for that crown that awaits them. We ask that you fortify them in this great test, that they may persevere under this great trial. But I stand with Marty in this prayer for a miracle, for an extension of life, so that we may testify to your mercy and to the power of this beautiful prayer. I give to you this family. I give to you all who walk the same path, and I just entrust them to your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, as I said, you can always email drew@relevantradio.com. You can send those prayer intentions to @DrewMarianiShow on Twitter. Patrick Alog is viewing that as well. And if you want to follow me @DrewMariani, you can do that as well. But Patrick, what can we pray for? What are people asking prayer for?
Yes, we have a number of prayers here, Drew. Teresa is praying for her friend Frank, who just beat cancer, but is now fighting COVID. Victoria is praying for her brother suffering from dementia. Jesus is praying for those looking for a job, including himself. as he's been looking for 8 months, and he has an interview later today, so hopefully that interview goes very well. Robin is praying for her lungs as her doctor says that they're partially collapsed and she's worried. And Kupisi is praying for the Ortiz family as their house was robbed recently. So she's praying for the Ortiz family that everything goes well there because their keys were robbed as well.
Wow. All right, we'll lift up those intentions and we'll add Helen as well to the mix. She's listening and praying with us in Chino, California. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm asking for you to pray for my daughter, Kristen. She lives in Oklahoma. She was diagnosed with breast cancer last month, a month ago tomorrow. And we were there for 5 weeks with her, going through all of the things that she was going through. But it turns out that she's going to begin starting chemo as of tomorrow. It'll be 18 weeks with six different sessions of chemo. So I'm praying for her to get through this time. And know that she's just surrounded with prayer from Relevant Radio. And I also ask prayers for my sister Ethel and my sister-in-law Lucerne, who has been suffering with a stroke now for several months. And I thank you and all of Relevant Radio for all the prayers and the things that you do for us.
Well, Helen, thank you for those kind words. Thanks for praying with us. I mean, we're all family here. I really do believe that, and I'm so delighted to be able to pray for you, and in particular for these intentions you just put forth. And Lord, I ask for healing. You know, Helen brought forth those battling chemo. I bring that to you, Lord, that those who are going through radiation treatment, those who are on immunotherapies, Lord, those who have cancer. Pray for her daughter in particular. I really do pray for her daughter, and for the family members of those who are ill, who are sick, who are in need of care, who are suffering debilitating, life-threatening diseases, that you give them special strength, you give them fortitude, you give them grace, you allow them to really cherish every moment and at the same time be conduits of your mercy. And I ask for healing, and I ask for miracles, for those impossible situations that so many are praying for right now, whether it be health or whether it be finances or whether it be their relationship. I bring them to the foot of your cross as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Debbie is praying in Pennsylvania, Upper Black Eddy.
Yes.
Never heard of that. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to pray for my son today, as I do every day, for the drug, the addiction to drugs, for him to realize he needs help with his addiction to drugs. He, has chosen basically living on the street with his addiction and is only in touch with one family member at this time every once in a while. So I go to bed every night worrying for that I'm going to get the phone call. So, but I also know all I can do is pray. And that's what I'm asking for everyone in my spiritual family to do with me today, please.
Well, that's so sweet. Well, we're with you, Debbie. And let's pray for each other.
That's right.
I know there's a lot of people.
It'll be answered.
Yeah, no, I love your attitude. As a mother in particular.
It will be answered.
Yeah, you know, you hang in there. God hears these prayers. He hears the prayers of conversion. And you know the thing that is just so hard? You're not the only one that has addiction in your family, right? Your son is battling. I think of all those other mothers out there right now who have very similar situations with their sons and daughters. Pray for Debbie. Debbie, you pray for them. Let's pray for each other right now. Let's just cover these souls who are battling addiction, addiction to drugs, to alcohol, to sexual proclivities, to perhaps food or overeating, to any other type of addictive type of behavior, any sort of destructive behavior. And Lord, I just bring them to the foot of the cross. I ask you to immerse them in your precious blood, to break the chains of anything that may be demonic, to heal whatever inner wounds they may have. And I pray in particular for their family members and their parents, for their mothers here and their fathers, that they can see the fruit of their prayer and they can recognize that your mercy has prevailed. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Anne in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good afternoon. Thanks for praying with us.
Yes. I would like to... can you hear me?
I can. Yes, Anne. Go right ahead.
Okay. I would like to say a prayer for my brother. He had a work accident on the 14th of September, and he has surgery scheduled for the end of October. But he has some blood work that needs to be done, and if his A1C is out of whack, they can't do the surgery. So I am just praying for a positive result for his blood work and for a successful surgery at the end of the month.
All right. Well, let's lift that up right now. I'm glad you got through today. Thank you for calling. Lord, I give you Anne, and I give you her brother who will be having surgery. I pray for the surgeons. I pray for all those who are facing these very critical moments. I give to everyone who has called me, everyone who's on hold, everyone who has written to me, Lord. I want to pray for those today who are traveling, those who are unemployed and underemployed. I want to pray for those who are homeless, nowhere to stay. Lord, I ask for mercy on those without driver's licenses. I want to pray for those who just struggle to make their ends meet. I'm going to pray for those who are sick, those trapped in a life of sin, those contemplating taking their own life or that of their child. Lord, I pray for those who are unfaithful in their relationships, and those wounded by that. And above all, I pray for those who do not believe in you, those who've gone before us. I give you these intentions. I give you everyone who is on hold with me. And I just come before you once again with great confidence and trust and thanksgiving for your mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Michael and all the archangels.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. So good to have you. And Preston, it's great to pray with you as well. Hey, when I come back, I'm going to share with you a story that I share every year. I love this story. It just shows you how God's protection is real and how the prayers of a mother, how the prayers taught to our children can maybe even save their life. I'll be back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Yeah, before I share that story with you, it's probably appropriate I share with you a little something about St. Faustina. You know, St. Faustina, we just got done praying the chaplet, and I hope you'll first tell many other people about St. Faustina and about the chaplet and about Divine Mercy. And if you say, well, I really don't know, you know, how to do that, then have them tune into the show. Have them tune in. And, of course, I pray every afternoon at 3 Central, 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, and would love to have you join us. And the more that we have praying with us, I think the louder the heavenly voice becomes. So tell others about it. St. Faustina was the recipient of these messages from Jesus. She began having visions in the early 1930s. And, she had visions, really. She had encounters with the Lord throughout her life, if you think about it. She died in 1938. But she was a mystic, had supernatural gifts like Padre Pio. She could be in two locations at once. She bilocated to the bedside of the dying. She prophesied with incredible accuracy. She could read human souls. It's an unbelievable gift. But she also had to contend with spiritual conflict. And daily life for St. Faustina, it was a battle. I know you're going through your own spiritual conflict. I mean, Satan hates the work that you do. As you grow closer to God, he hates it. He'll do whatever he can to impede that. You're trying to pray with your family? Look at the division that sometimes crops up right as you're about to say that prayer. You're doing a work for God? Look at the division that pops up around that. I've seen it over and over and over again. It's not even new. You know, it doesn't even surprise me anymore. I actually expect when I'm doing something that I know is going to bear fruit, it's going to advance the kingdom of God, and it's going to bring truth, it's going to draw souls closer to God. I absolutely am convinced the evil one's going to try to attack. But you know what? He never prevails. Never, ever prevails. So do not fear growing in holiness. Do not fear the work you're called to. In fact, rejoice in it, right? Rejoice in it. And know that that storm you're in, you know, that's a good sign. Because the more beautiful the work St. Faustina wrote, the greater the storm that will rage against it. St. Faustina said once, she said, I look with one eye into the abyss of my own misery, and the other, she says, into the ocean of God's mercy. See, we have two eyes. One eye to discover our own mystery, the other to see God's mercy, right? And he is so full of love. He loves you. He wants to come and help you. That's why we have St. Michael the Archangel. You know, the name St. Faustina's confessor was Michael. I spoke about him yesterday, Michael Sopochko. The name of the church in Vilnius where the Divine Mercy image was displayed, that was called St. Michael. And the name of the Mother Superior who accepted St. Faustina into the convent, the sister of Our Lady of Mercy, how providential, was Michaela, if you will. Michaela is pretty much how it's said. It's Michael with an A, right? And that all comes from the name Michael. St. Michael the Archangel actually appeared to St. Faustina only once, right? She had this vision of him. It was September 29th on this great feast day dedicated to St. Michael. And she wrote in her diary that, you know, he was sent to us by God to offer us grace. And Michael said to St. Faustina, he says, "Do not fear, for the Lord has ordered me to take special care of you." And then he disappeared. Can you imagine seeing an archangel? I mean, people who see angels, period, they often tremor. Right? The majesty, the strength, the beauty, the power that emanates from these angelic beings is overwhelming, right? Can you imagine seeing the power of St. Michael, the archangel who threw Lucifer himself and those other angels into hell, right? Cast them from heaven, this mighty angel of God? What a comfort this, to know that as you're going through spiritual warfare, you've got this guy, he's got your back, right? He's got your six. He says, "Do not fear. The Lord has offered me to take special care of you." She Faustina wrote in her diary one time, she said that she had reverence for St. Michael the Archangel because he had no example to follow in doing the will of God, yet he fulfilled God's will faithfully. And of course, she had the protection of St. Michael because her mission, the mission of divine mercy. You imagine how the attack that this woman must have went under. I mean, especially when Satan recognized what was unfolding. So to have that type of protection, it was given not just to Faustina, but to her confessor, Michael Sapochko as well, who received the divine mercy, in his soul first. But Sapochko was an intelligent man, a professor of theology. And as I said yesterday, we have divine mercy in large part thanks to this man. So really, what an incredible, incredible blessing. I want to share a story with you. This is an ancient story. It goes all the way back to the Korean War. I guess it's not that ancient, but it's an older story, right? And it's a powerful story of how St. Michael is present and how he ultimately intervenes. And I'll tell you what, before I do that, because I love the story, I'll give you a little background before we even get to this. When I was growing up as a child, my father, before we'd go to school every morning, he would go ahead and he would say the St. Michael prayer with us. And I remember in grade school, first grade, second grade, third grade, right? We'd go off to this little Catholic school in our uniforms. Before we walked out the door, we would be praying this St. Michael prayer. And if you're not familiar with it, it was given to St. Leo the 13th. I want to share that with you, but let me do this. Let me take a break. And when I come back, I'm going to introduce you to a prayer that you may not know. If you don't know this prayer, or you don't pray it, we're going to post it on our Twitter page because this is a very powerful prayer. I would encourage you to pray it every day. I pray it every day. I turn every day now to St. Michael. I also invoke my guardian angel now on a very regular basis. I've gotten into a little bit of a better relationship with him than I have in the past. And we'll get this up on Twitter for you. But I'll share with you the backstory on this. And then I'll also give you some insight into some tremendous protection by St. Michael. He's not just relegated to the scriptures or to stories. He's real and present, not just in the lives of the saints, but I know he's in your life as well. And I'll fill you in when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
You are never alone.
God bless Relevant Radio.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Now, I want to share with you a story. It's a true story. Comes from a letter that was written by a young Marine to his mother while he was recovering from wounds he suffered in a Korean battle back in 1950. The Navy chaplain was a guy named Father Muldy, M-U-L-D-Y, and he actually talked to this soldier, spoke to his mother, and to the sergeant-in-arms who was in charge of this guy's patrol. But let me share with you from the letter itself. This was written by the soldier to his mother, and he says this. He says, "Dear Mom, I wouldn't dare write this letter to anyone but you because no one else would believe it. Maybe even you're going to find it hard to believe, but I have got to tell somebody. First off, I'm in the hospital. Now, don't worry. Don't worry. I was wounded, But I am okay. The doctor says I'm going to be up and probably around in a month, and that's not really what I wanted to tell you, though. Remember when I joined the Marines last year? You know, when I left, you told me to say a prayer, to pray every day, you said, to St. Michael. You really didn't have to tell me that, though, Mom, because ever since, I prayed that prayer every single day. You know, in fact, I know if you love St. Michael, because you named me after him. Well, when I got to Korea, I began to pray to him even harder. Remember the prayer, Michael, Michael, in the morning, fresh corps of heaven adorning? You know the rest of it. Well, I would say that every day, sometimes when I was marching, sometimes when I was resting, but always before I went to sleep. I even got some of the other, you know, some of the other Marines to say it with me. Well, one day, I was in this advanced detail. We were way up on the front lines, and we were scouting out for the commies. And I was plodding along. It was bitter cold. In fact, it was so cold, I just remember my breath. It was like cigar smoke as it poured out of me. And I thought to myself, as I looked around, I know every guy in this patrol, right? And alongside me comes another Marine. A Marine I had never met before. Now, he was bigger than any other Marine I'd ever seen. He must have been 6'4" and built in proportion. This guy gave me the feeling of security, just to have such a body nearby. Anyway, you know, we're just trudging along. The rest of the patrol kind of spread out. And, you know, just to start a conversation, I said, hey, it's cold, ain't it? And he laughed. Here I was, you know, good chance of getting killed at any minute. Now I'm talking about the weather. Anyway, you know, I thought, you know what? My companion understands, right? I heard him laugh softly. I looked at him. You know, war is a strange place to be, Mom. But then again, I've never seen him before. And I kept thinking to myself, I know every man in this outfit. Who is this guy? I just joined, you know, at the last minute, he replied to me. My name is Michael. I didn't even ask him. He just said that. Well, is that so? I said, surprised. My name's Michael, too. I know, he says. And then he went on, Michael, Michael of the morning. Mom, I was too amazed to say anything. For a minute, I was speechless. I mean, how did he know my name and a prayer that you had taught me? Then I smiled to myself. I said, you know what? I get it. Every guy in this outfit knew about me. I taught everybody that prayer. Anybody would listen. Why, now and then they even referred to me as St. Michael. Well, neither of us spoke for a time. We continued to trudge along, and then he broke the silence. He said in a very serious tone, he said, we're going to have some trouble ahead. Now, this guy must have been in unbelievable physical shape. He was breathing so lightly, I couldn't even see his breath. Mine, as I said, poured out of me like great clouds of smoke. But Mom, there was no smile on his face now. Trouble ahead, he said. I thought to myself, well, you know, with the communists all around us, that's no big revelation, right? Snow suddenly began to fall, and it came down in these big, white, thick globs. And in a brief moment, the whole countryside was blotted out. And I was marching in what I can only describe as a fog of wet, sticky particles. And then he disappeared. Michael! I shouted in sudden alarm. Michael, where are you? I felt a hand on my arm, his voice rich and strong, and he said, this will stop shortly. And you know what? His prophecy was true. In a few minutes, the snow stopped as abruptly as it began, and then the sun came out. It was a shining disk. It was shining bright and hard, and I looked back for the rest of the patrol, but there was nobody in sight. Apparently, we had lost them in that heavy snowfall. We got separated. So I looked ahead as we came over this little rise, and Mom, my heart just stopped. There, over that rise, were seven of them. Seven commies in their padded pants and their jackets and those funny hats. Only there wasn't anything funny about them now. Seven rifles. Seven of them were aimed right at us. Down, Michael, I screamed. And I hit the frozen earth. And then I heard those rifles fire almost at once. I heard the bullets whiz by. There was Michael. He was still standing. And I thought to myself, Mom, that guy, how could they have missed? They were right in front of us, not at that range. I expected him I expected to see him literally blown to bits. But there he stood, making no effort to fire himself. You know, I've seen it before. He was paralyzed with fear, and it happens sometimes, Mom. Even to the bravest of soldiers. He was like a bird fascinated by a snake. Then I remember feeling strong arms about me. Arms that laid me ever so gently on a pillow of snow, and I opened my eyes for one last look, and I thought I must have been hit. I'm dying. Maybe I was even dead. And I remember thinking to myself, it's really not that bad. And again, maybe I was looking in the sun. Maybe I was just in shock from being shot. But it seemed I saw Michael, this Marine, standing erect again. Only this time, he was transformed. His face was shining with this incredible splendor. He seemed almost to change as I watched him. He grew bigger. His arms stretched out. And again, maybe this was the snow falling. Maybe it was the wound. Maybe it was the trauma. But there was a brightness around him, almost like the wings of an angel. And in his hand was a sword that flashed with a million lights. Well, that's the last thing that I remember until the rest of the troop came up and they found me. Honestly, I don't know how much time had passed. Now then, I had but a moment's rest from the pain. I had fever. I remember telling them, the enemy's just ahead. The enemy is just ahead. And I kept saying to them, where's Michael? Where's Michael? And they looked at each other funny. Where's who? They kept asking me. Michael, where was the big Marine that I was walking with just before the snow squall hit us? His name's Michael. My sergeant said to me, he said, kid, you weren't walking with anyone. I had my eyes on you the entire time. You were getting too far out. I was just going to call you in when the snow began to fall and you disappeared. And he looked at me kind of curiously and he said, son, how did you do it? How'd I do what? I asked. I was half angry despite this wound. This Marine named Michael and I, we were just marching ahead. Son, the sergeant said again very kindly, I picked this outfit out myself. And there just ain't another Michael in it. You are the only Michael. He paused for a moment and he said it to me again. He said, Mom, he says, how did you do it, kid? We heard shots, but there wasn't a single shot fired from your rifle. There isn't a bit of lead in those seven bodies over there on that hill. How did you do it? I didn't understand a thing he was saying. I mean, what could I say? Could I only look open mouth with with amazement? I had no idea what he was talking about. He said, kid, every one of those seven commies was killed by a sword stroke. And Mom, that's all I can tell you. As I say, it might have been the sun in my eyes. It might have been the cold or the pain. But that's what's happened. Love your son, Michael. That prayer, I know everybody always asks me for it. That's a true story. It was, again, written by the chaplain who spoke to Michael himself. That's the letter Michael wrote to his mother. And the chaplain actually read that. That's how it came to be known. The prayer, people say, well, what's the prayer he taught? It was this, Michael, Michael of the morning, fresh core of heaven adoring, keep me safe today, and in time of temptation, drive the devil away. So Michael, Michael of the morning, fresh core of heaven adoring, keep me safe today, and in time of temptation, drive the devil away. There's lots of prayers to St. Michael. There's the chaplet of St. Michael. It's a wonderful way to honor this great archangel, along with the other nine choirs of angels. And you can always turn to, you know, St. Gabriel and St. Raphael. And today, in a special way, we call upon their powerful and their mighty intercession. You know, there's another great story. That was 1960 or so. There was a back in 1884, when Pope Leo XIII was the Pope. And this was a great Pope. He penned encyclicals on, he penned encyclicals on the Rosary, and he did so much. He was such a such an incredible and holy man. He had an experience one day. He had just finished Mass. He was coming out of the Sistine Chapel. And there are a few cardinals there, a couple members of the Vatican staff. And eyewitnesses say he suddenly stopped in front of the altar and he heard, he stood there about 10 minutes. And it was like he was in a trance. His face was ashen white. And some say he collapsed on the floor. Other people say that whatever it was, he was paralyzed for that period of time. And immediately after this, after this experience, he went back to his room and he composed the prayer to St. Michael. And it's a powerful prayer to St. Michael. You know the prayer, right? St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin and destruction of souls. That's the prayer he wrote. Because what ended up happening was, when he went into this ecstatic state after Mass, when he had this encounter, he heard two voices, one kind and gentle, the other guttural and harsh, and they seemed to come from the tabernacle. And he heard a conversation. The guttural voice, the voice of Satan in his pride and boasting, said to God, I can destroy your church. And the gentle voice, that of our Lord, said, if you think you can, go ahead and do so. But to do so, I need more time. I need more power. The Lord said, how much more time? How much more power? Satan said, 75 to 100 years and greater power over those who will give themselves to my service. Our Lord simply said, you have the time, you will have the power, do with them what you will. Now that was 1884. Leo XIII died in 1904, 1905, and I think it's fair to say there's no question there was something different about our time, something especially diabolic when we are looking at the tens of millions of babies put to death each, you know, that are killed each year through surgical abortion, where the elderly, the cognitively disabled are being put to death, a time when marriage has been redefined and it's constantly under attack, you know, where we see the Lord mocked and ridiculed, stripped from the public square and from school, when we see this attack on our children. Every epoch has its evil. In the 13th century, if you know your history, they had Genghis Khan, right? But there was not another era that had the ability to destroy the planet like we do, right? No other century had scientists tinkering with the very fabrics of life. No other people has completely rejected God, you know? After this vision in 1884, look what happened. You know, we saw the rise of, we had the battle of the First World War, the Great War, then the Second World War. You had Hitler, you followed by, you know, Lenin and Stalin and Mao's, just the beginning of an incredible immorality. We had the legislation, the legalization of abortion, and so much more. Satan used to love to hide in the shadows. Today, he is coming out. You can see him very visibly. And I think today, more than ever, we need that prayer. That prayer to St. Michael used to be said after every low Mass. We prayed here at Relevant. I prayed every day. And I invite you to pray it. I believe in the protection of these great archangels. You've seen it in the case of that Korean soldier. A great pope like Leo XIII, who would go on to write encyclicals on the power of the rosary in this beautiful prayer, understood how important it was for our time. So today on the great feast of the archangels, let's honor Michael and perhaps begin anew a greater devotion to him.